the BBC Light Programme and the British Forces Network in Germany.
Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the keynotes, all inviting you to... Well, Bentley, it's rolled round again. As you know, this is a particular week of the year... Well, I make it a practice to call on all my dearest friends and acquaintances.
Oh, yes, so you do. To get your Christmas cards back.
Dad. Hand over, if you please, thank you.
Well, I've got it here somewhere. It's, here you are.
Thank you very much. Oh, Bentley, look, you've creased it. Oh, really, you are the limit. 15 years this card's been out and back again. Never any trouble at all, and now look at it.
Oh, what a fuss. I'll pay to have it dry clean.
You're darn right you'll pay for it. It's your liability.
Mine?
It's down there in black and white. You see there? All damage to this card must be paid for by the recipient, you see? Just under and a happy new year.
Look, Jim, you know I'm the last person to push my nose in, but I've got to say this. If you're not careful, people are going to get the idea you're a bit stingy.
Oh, I see. Well, basically, you may have been the last person to push your nose in. I'll tell you this, I'm going to be the next person.
Now, Jim, I want you to take this in the spirit from whence it came.
Oh, yes.
Yes, whence. Now, this mean streak of yours, it's getting worse. Oh. Don't think I didn't notice what you were doing when June and I came round to your place for tea. Warming the knives so we couldn't take too much butter.
Benji, that is not meanness. It's just that I'm careful with my money. My family believed that the best way to live was by thrift.
Well, so did my family, but we always spent the proceeds.
Not theft, I said thrift.
Look, Jimmy, you go on as you are, and you know how you'll end up? A lonely, miserable old miser, crouching over his pile of gold with no living creature for company except your moustache.
Oh, tish, tush, and tush, you're exaggerating.
I'm not. Ask anybody. Ask Wallace Eaton. Hey, Wallace.
Call me, Mr. V. I was just... Oh, hello, Jim. Thanks for the lovely Christmas card.
A pleasure, Wallace.
Here it is.
Thank you. Just a minute while I examine it. That's all right. Nothing to pay.
Darn. Well, I want to ask you something. You've known Jim from childhood. Would you say he was invariably a little parsimonious?
Yes, but it don't show. Slight slurring of the speech, perhaps a tendency to sing.
Let me put it this way.
Oh, yes.
What does he give his mother for spending money?
Well, he usually gives her a sauce round the ear if she spends money. But you're asking whether old Jim's a bit close-fisted with the hackers, then this, in all fairness, I will say, yes.
Well, Jim?
So that's what people think of me.
Oh, dear.
Stingy, tight-fisted, skinflint. I never guessed. What a fool I've been. Pray heavens it's not too late to change. Is it too late? Is it too late? Is it too late, Cratchit? I mean, Bentley.
No, Jim, it's never too late.
I'll show him. Where's my wallet? Sewn into my hip pocket. Wallace, here it is. Help yourself.
What? Your money?
Yes, go on, take, dig in.
You? Giving away money?
Yes.
Jim, you don't realize what you're doing.
I
knew this would happen, Mr. Bentley. It's all that jolting up and down on horseback. It's numbed his brain.
Dig in, Wallace. Take all you like. Take it.
Well, if you say so, very kind. Charles.
And another, go on. And another.
But that makes four.
I don't care.
Oh, you realize what that adds up to? Tuppence.
Well, there you are, Jim. Now, isn't the feeling of giving away money something quite unique and different?
Unique? Absolutely, Bentley. This is the first time I've ever given away money, and I see now it's all due to you. That is something I shall never forget. In fact, I'm going to do something about it right away.
Oh, Jim.
Wow!
Yes, Jim?
Cross Mr. Bentley off my Christmas card list.
I dreamed that I was Queen of France.
Thank you, Keynotes. And now, Tyfe presents Book Lover's Corner. This is an occasional feature in which we shall be recommending books that we hope you will read and enjoy.
Yes, anything to stop you looking in at that blasted telly.
Our selection panel has been busy with the current crop of new books, so let's hear their choice. First, Mr. Bentley.
Well, the one I'm recommending is, I suppose, what you'd call a woman's book. I don't know who the woman is, but she left it in the bus. I found it a rattling good yarn with a meaty plot, and what I liked most, it dealt with people I could understand.
The title?
Noddy's New Car.
And what about the field of romantic fiction? Well, our choice is a new novel entitled Tomorrow Is My Yesterday by Deirdre Knox Lightley. As it's all about young people, we've asked a young person to review it.
Well, this book was lent to me by Sonia. She's the girl I go friends with. And she's the sort that does a lot of reading. Well, with her complexion, I mean, you understand. But I enjoyed the book. I read it while I was giving myself a twonk. That's new home perm, you know. Well, it's a nice story about a young couple called Jocelyn and Hilary, and they're awfully nice. But, especially when you've got sorted out which is the man and which is the girl. But one thing I think I should say, here and there in the story, there are several bits which are rather, well, outspoken. Mind you, they didn't worry me because Sonia had kindly underlined them. So I didn't have to bother reading the other bits.
And so to our book of the week, Jimmy Edwards reporting.
Well, I live in a country, and this is a book which I think captures the whole smell of the countryside. Unless it's just that I've been carrying it in my duffel coat. It is silage time, you know. Well, this book is called Varga the Water Vole, and it's written by Warren Peace, author of Some Leaves from a Naturalist's Turnip. I first met him at the annual dinner of the Wild Fowl Trust when he hit Peter Scott across the beak with a flamingo. The book tells of 24 hours in the life of a water vole named Varga and his friends and his foes of the forest brook. Here's an extract.
And now the lengthening shadows of dusk crept across the quiet glade and all the night creatures began to stir. Down by the mossy bank, old Peterkin, the hedgehog, was curling himself into a ball.
One of these days I'll do myself a permanent injury.
With scarcely a ripple, Varga swam downstream to the spot where all the forest animals foregathered for their evening drink.
Good evening, Mr. Badger. What are you having?
Thank you. Pint of pond, please.
Martin, you're new round here, aren't you?
Yes, I'm a water bowl.
Like Niagara Falls? Or...
No. I'm one of the several genera of rodents allied to the rats and mice. Only I'm aquatic.
Oh, are you now? I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of meeting aquatic. Will you come down here to look for a mate? Oh,
no need to put it so crudely, old thing.
Well, it's only nature. We're all beasts together, you know. Here's somebody coming that might be up your warren. I say, have a look.
Oh, she's lovely. Who is she?
A young local rabbit works in a bank.
Evening, Mr. Badger.
Good evening, Miss Rabbit.
Oh, what a day. Another birthday party. Oh, who'd be a rabbit? Well, it's no fun when your family's got a birthday every 8 minutes.
You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
You talking to me, dear?
Yes, I love you. Let me take you away from all this.
Oh, don't be silly. You can't.
Why not?
Well, because I'm a rabbit and you're a water vole. Don't you see it? Well, it can never be.
Who says so? Who says so?
Oh, Darwin, Huxley, Brian V.C. Fitzgerald.
I don't care a fig for the whole five of them. We'll start a new species.
Oh, no, please. Now, we must be sensible about this.
Oh, sorry. I should never have asked. You've made me feel like a rat.
And he stumbled away in search of one. Gravely, the wise old badger gazed after him, nodding his head.
There you are, Stoat. It goes to show the old saying is right.
What old saying?
A vole and his bunny are soon parted.
You know that little so-and-so on what you call it street?
Right next door to, I forget his name.
Since we met, I don't know if I'm on my head or feet.
But anyway, I love him just the same. Has he got naughty eyes?
Yes, I have got naughty eyes.
That's certain, Party. You know the one I mean.
Sure, I know the one you mean.
What
a smarty.
Has he got love and ways?
Sure, I have got love and ways.
That certain party of mine.
I met her on a Saturday.
Oh, was it Friday night?
Maybe it was Thursday. Let me see.
Oh, now I know it was Sunday.
And the sun was shining bright. In fact, since then it always shines on me. Has she got you-know-what?
Well, I hope that I've got you-know-what.
That certain party. Has she got, I forgot?
Yes, she has got, you forgot.
That certain party of mine. You-know-what?
What?
I forgot.
What?
This and that, oh. Quite a lot.
Oh, what a party.
Oh, she's got everything.
And he's got everything.
Come on, gents, come on, their last orders. Drink up, gentlemen, please. Mr. Glum, please. Drink up, Mr. Glum.
Landlord, please have some human pity. I've only just got in. Oh, dear. Give us a pint. What an evening I've had. Oh, dear, oh, Lord. I shall remember it if I live to my dying day. Here, Ted. You know my boy, Ron.
Huh?
Yes, of course you know him. Closing time, Saturday night, he's the one who takes my feet.
Oh, him.
Yes, well, as you know my Ron, he hasn't been in regular employment much recently. You see, what posts he has occupied, he was obliged to leave, you see, owing to illness.
Illness?
Yes, they got sick of him. However, that boy of mine, yeah. Like his dad, yeah. He's a boy who's not lacking in initiative. Ha ha.
Lovely top of bidding you got here. After 6 or 7 years of doing nothing, he decides it's time to have another try, you see?
Oh, yeah.
Initiative. Well, so he thought of this idea of setting himself up as a babysitter.
Babysitter?
That's what I said, babysitter. Well, now, here's where he goes wrong, the silly boy. He don't say nothing to me about it. I am completely ignorant.
Oh, that couldn't have been the only reason.
If it wasn't after closing time, I'd slosh you for that. No, I didn't. What I mean is he keeps it a secret from me, you see. Oh. So now what happens? Tonight, all unbeknownst to me, his dad, he gets booked up for his first babysitting, you see. 7 to 10:30, the parents want him. So, 6:30, Ron leaves our place with F wishing him all kinds of best wishes, you see. Well, about 8:30, what do you think is going on in our front parlour?
I got hiccups.
Hiccups, Ron?
Badly, if. See?
But why on earth should you get hiccups from babysitting? Have you eaten anything?
Only what they left out for me.
They left you some supper?
Yes, if. The lady said the 8 o'clock feed is all prepared for you. I think it was that rubber thing on the bottle of milk. And that rubber thing gave me...
Oh, Ron! That feed was for the baby! You weren't supposed to... Oh, Ron! The baby! That poor little baby! Did you just leave it there, in its cot?
No, Ed. I put it in a string bag.
Why a string bag?
It was the only way I could carry it on my bike.
You don't mean you brought it back here with you?
Yes.
You rode through the streets with a tiny baby dangling from your bike in a string bag?
Don't look so cross, Ed. I took some of the potatoes out first.
Ron Plum, where is that little mite now?
Hanging on the hall stand.
Oh, Ron, just you go and bring that child in here to the warm this instant.
Righto,
Ed. Oh, I've never heard anything the like. Poor little angel, being jogged up and down all among the potatoes. Well, it's enough to give it a complex for life.
Here you are, Ed. Here it is.
Oh, don't empty it out like that. There. Oh, you poor little angel. Oh, he's a lovely baby, Ron. Aren't you? Aren't you then? Oh, who's a gorgeous, smiley fellow with dimples on his chubby little wrist, eh?
Liberace?
You have treated this little treasure like that. You will take him back to his home right away. Well, not right away. I must have a few minutes cuddle first.
Right, Owen. Let's put the baby
somewhere. Oh, I didn't mean you. Go away. Did he frighten you then, my precious?
Hello, hello. Hello.
Look at this, Mr. Glum.
I blame myself. All right, Ron, F. Out of this ass.
Oh, but Mr. Glum.
No arguments. Get out. And use the back way so the neighbors can't see. Ron, I'll send on your roller skates and spare vest.
Right, Dad.
Ron, this will send your dear mother Snow White.
Mr. Glum, don't be silly. Ron just brought this baby home. room.
Eh? Ron?
Yes, he got it from sitting.
You mean he hatched it?
No, Mr. Glum. Your Ron has gone into business. He's now a fully-fledged half-a-crown-an-hour babysitter.
Oh, well done, Ron. That's fine, steady work, that is. Half-a-crown-an-hour, eh? Oh, what you got so far?
I've got the hiccups, Dad.
That's what it is, isn't it? I wondered why your cap kept springing off your head. Hey, there's only one way to cure Ron when he's got hiccups. Give him a good fright.
Oh, there's no time, Mr. Glum. We've got to take the baby back quickly before the parents get home and find he's gone. Oh, he's such a dear little thing, too. Oh, look.
Oh, love him, yeah. Look at the way he wrinkles his nose when I put my face near. Yeah. Here, let me hold him for a minute there.
Oh, careful with
him. That's all right, I got him there. Oh, yeah. This takes me back a few years. How well I remember my baby Ron at this age. Nothing he liked better than listening to my watch go ticky-tock, ticky-tock. I can see him now, his little ear pressed to the pawn shop window. Ron! Ron, you've got to hurry up and provide Eff and me with one of these.
Oh, Dad.
There we are. That stopped his hiccups.
Mr. Glum, we must see about getting that baby back to its home. Oh, it must be nearly 10.
Oh, I don't think so, Eff. It can't even talk yet.
If we can sneak him in before the parents arrive, nobody need be any the wiser.
Well, I'll come along with you to see there's no slip-up. Now then, where'd this baby come from, Ron?
You know perfectly well, Dad.
Ron, I'm asking you for his address. Now, where does he live at?
Oh, his address.
Yes, Ron, what's his address?
His address.
Well, don't keep saying that. Where are we going to take him back to?
There.
Yes.
I've forgotten.
Ron, you can't have forgotten where you took him from. Oh, you mustn't have forgotten.
I have, eh?
Oh, dear, oh, Lord, oh, dear, oh, now we're really in it. If them parents come back and find their baby gone, they'll have the Lord on you, Ron. You've got to remember the address.
Oh, for all our sakes, Ron, think, beloved.
I am, eh?
What?
Aren't I silly? I just remembered.
What?
Of course.
Yes, what?
I wrote it down on a bit of paper. Otherwise, how would I have known how to get to his house?
Oh, thank heavens for that.
Yes.
Here, here, you haven't forgotten what you did with the paper, I hope.
Of course I haven't, Dad. I'm not stupid.
Nobody's inferring you are, beloved. Where is the bit of paper?
On top of the piano.
There you are, Mr. Glum. I know what you were thinking. You were thinking that Ron had left it at their house. But he left it on the piano, see?
F.
Yes?
We haven't got a piano.
What do you mean?
Ron, they've got a piano, haven't they?
Yes, Dad. It's where I left the bit of paper on.
Yes. Oh, that's marvellous, isn't it? My son and heir has excelled himself tonight.
Thank you, Dad.
Oh,
oh,
Mr. Glum, don't hit him with that. Not with the baby.
What are we going to do if he can't remember the address?
Just a minute, Dad.
What, Ron?
I think it's coming back. Yes, it is. It is coming back.
Yes, then.
There, it's back.
Well, strike me rotten. I never heard the like. You must have been in a fair old state.
As fair an old state as anyone has ever been in, Ted. We tried every way to get Ron to remember that address. I got out the old street gazetteer, and I went through it with him from Acacia Crescent to Zeebrugger Mansion.
None of them rung a bell.
Not a flipping tinkle. Eff was nearly out of her mind. I can't tell you what she was.
Now, oh, Ron, if you could only remember what kind of house it was. Did it have steps going up to the front door?
No, Eff. No, definitely no steps going up. I do remember that. I remember distinctly coming out and closing the door behind me and seeing the steps. They went down.
Oh, well, that's something. Steps in front. Yes. Well, what's the time? Oh, only another quarter of an hour.
Oh, dear, dear, dear. Look, Eff, try Ron with some more house numbers. Mm. It might just strike a chord.
Yes, Eff, do some more house numbers. I like that.
All right. What number number did I get up to last time, Mr. Glum?
568.
All right, let's go on from there, then. Now, 569. Mean anything wrong? 569.
Now, eh?
570.
Now, eh? Try 23 again.
23.
Now, eh? Wait a minute, though. 20-something. That seems... 27?
Go on, Ron, go on. Keep at it, lad.
27?
27-something road?
No.
Avenue, Ron?
Haven't I what, eh?
Give it up, Beth. Let's turn it in and let's all go to prison. I think I'd rather.
No, 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 Mr. Glum. We're on to something at last. Now, Ron, 27 what?
27 Abbotsbury Road. There you are. It just came into my mind suddenly. I could just see myself going there tonight. 27 Abbotsbury Road. Well, aren't you pleased with me?
Wrong. That's our address. So there you are, Ted. We kept it up till 10:30, and then I abandoned hope. I come in here, Ted, to toke up a bit.
Oh.
I have the feeling my next year or so will be spent in forced abstinence.
Well, I don't want to say, Mr. Glum. Look, if it helps, the baby can share a cot tonight with our nipper.
Well, that's very kind, I must say.
The babysitter will let you in the house. Number 571 it is. You'll recognise it easy. It's got steps going up the front door.
Oh, Ted, it's moments like this where... Did you say steps going up the front door?
Sure.
Good night, Ted.
Mr. Glum, what are you backing away for?
Urgent appointment, urgent, urgent.
Mr. Glum, you left your string bag behind.
You can keep it, Ted, a present from the Glum.
A present? Here, what's in this bag? It's our little Albert. Come back, Glum, just you come back, all of you.
Harry Rabinowitz and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Ryan Matthew was the announcer, Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...